Today on Better Call Sexton, it is nonstop. We got lemon pound cake. We like pretty girls. We got all of this and more. It's a full docket. Stick around. But before we begin, remember to like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. You are not going to miss this one, even if you got high. Let's get after it.
All right, Jim, sometimes the content gods shine upon you and a story just drops into your lap. That is perfect for your show. And Afro Man's legal case is that.
I mean,
to a T.
I was going to follow it, but then I got high. You know what I mean? This is gold. It's gold. I mean, even as someone, I was on trial for the week and you get out of court, you'd be like, man, the last thing you want to do is more legal drama. And I was just watching every minute of this. I mean, it was just, it had every element you'd need. The costumes,
yep.
The testimony, the jaded ex-wife testimony of the cop, the evasive cross-examination, the fucking lawyer. I mean, that lawyer looks like he's like Grizzly Adams, Sons of Anarchy casting, but like then threw a suit on him. I don't even know where to start. I don't even, the lemon pound cake. Sign me up. I would be eyeing that lemon pound
Liquor
cake.
Liquor Lolisa and Randy Walters is a son of a bitch.
So unbelievable. Randy Walters, I have to tell you, that man, talk about who's having a bad week. He is having a bad week out there. That is just, people are going to know that name now, yep. You know?
So if you don't know the story, a couple years ago, police raided the music artist Afro Man's house on suspicions of like human trafficking and drug dealing,
yeah. Weapons possession. They had a whole kit on that search warrant.
That's a part of the story. Was that a tip or was that police, corruption?
It's
or
not
how did
super
it start?
Clear, but they did have a warrant and they were searching
nothing.
Under the warrant.
They find nothing. They seize $4,000, but when it gets returned, it's $400 short.
Yep.
He goes through the security footage in his house and finds them, you know, trying to eat his food and going through his stuff, and then makes songs about the police department for 3 straight years.
Amazing.
And gets sued for defamation, is yes. on trial in yes. a American flag costume looking yes. like Don King.
Even his deposition testimony was brilliant. His testimony on the stand was brilliant. It was well done. There was clearly, I mean, aside from the fact you can tell he's an intelligent guy and his ability to sort of answer questions the right way, he was also well prepared. I think his lawyer did an excellent job. I have to tell you, like, you look at his lawyer and you look at that guy and you go like, all right, this guy doesn't look like, I wear the lawyer costume. I look like a lawyer. If you put the sleeves down and you don't see the tattoos, I look like I'm right out of Inherit the Wind.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, there are lawyers out there, like, don't sleep on them. Like, do not judge a book by its cover. Like, there is a lawyer who will remain nameless that practices here in New York with me, who just looks like a bag of smashed assholes. Like, this guy looks like they just rolled him out from under the bar, literally.
Yeah.
He's wildly overweight. He's just always looks like he hasn't showered in 3 or 4 days. His suits are just terribly ill-fitting. And even his car is like the most beat up car. And when he gets out of it, like cigarette packs and food falls out. And it's literally like, it's just something out of central casting of like, okay, this is the like worst assigned attorney you'll ever see. The guy is an incredible trial lawyer.
Oh, wow.
Incredible. I have watched him just light somebody up on cross-examination. He knows evidence like the back of his hand. He'll quote the civil procedure law and rules like off the top of his head, like 3101D. Like, and you just go, what happened? And meanwhile, there are some lawyers that they look the part and they go in and they're just like, boo, you know, they just do not have the special sauce. So I got to tell you, this lawyer to me was an example of someone that I'm like, I can't wait to see what this guy's got. And then he's just conducting a masterful examination. His cross, he set up all the traps where he basically got the person to commit to the fact that they knew that this was a joke or parody, that they don't actually believe this stuff. But I mean, some of the testimony is just, you cannot believe this is in a court of law.
Let's roll a clip of the lawyer.
Main song, Monster, and says there's a monster in that song. Comedian. He exaggerates for the sake of entertainment. The same thing I knew when I was watching Johnny Carson, the late night show, and SNL, Saturday Night Live, with my grandfather when I was a kid. That's all entertainment.
him saying, like, yeah. Who would take this man seriously, yeah. Your Honor, about yeah. his own client yeah. is an awesome move.
Well, and you know what I'll tell you is he did a really good job, even with the costuming, of making himself intentionally clownish.
Right.
Like if he'd gone into court the way some people go into court, which is with this very formal demeanor, it would create the air that what he has to say is said with gravitas.
Right.
And I think the fact that he went in with this deliberately clownish way, that is not an original concept. I mean, if you study like The People versus Larry Flint, there was an excellent film made about that many years ago with Woody Harrelson in it and Ed Norton, where, you know, it covered The People versus Larry Flint, which was a criminal trial against Larry Flint, who was the publisher of Hustler magazine. And he was being sued for defamation by Jerry Falwell because he had made a pretend ad that implied that Jerry Falwell had engaged in incest with his mother in an outhouse. And it was clearly parody, but he was sued for it. And he was also charged criminally for obscenity and some other things. So it was an amazing trial because Larry Flint intentionally went in with like crazy clownish antics. You know, he wore a t-shirt one day to trial that said, I wish I were black. He did crazy things in the courtroom. He wore an Uncle Sam outfit one day. And it was with the intention, it was setting precedent for something like this to essentially drive home that, yeah, I am deliberately a provocateur. It's kind of the same thing Milo Yiannopoulos has done, right? Mm-hmm. Which is to say, like, yeah, I say outrageous things because that's what I do. That's my thing. I'm a troll. Well, this is a way of sort of using that trollishness as a defense to say no one would take me seriously.
Because as much as we're all rooting for Afro Man, right? Nobody wants to be on the police side. But I did think to myself, they executed a warrant. Mm-hmm. Right. Like it wasn't illegal.
Yeah.
He felt wronged and then says, you're cheating on your wife and all these things. Like that kind of did feel like defamation to me.
Yeah.
No?
I mean, you have a right to express your opinions. Like I have a right to get up. Like you have a right to get up and say, I think Jim Sexton is an asshole. You have a right to that opinion.
Who would say that?
Opinions vary widely, I have to tell you. Probably even in the comments section. Go ahead and read it. I'm certainly not going to. You're allowed to express that, you know, you are allowed to say to a police officer, hey, I think you're an asshole and I think you're a pig or whatever awful things you want to say to a police officer. I wouldn't encourage it, but you're allowed to say that. We live in a society where, you know, we have that level of free speech. Now, you know, did he have a right to be as offended as he was by the behavior that they engaged in? Look, if they had a good faith basis to get a warrant and then to execute that warrant and the things they did to like break down doors and stuff like that, if they were doing that for a legitimate law enforcement safety purpose, then, you know, is holding them up to public disrepute, is something justified? Again, morally, I don't know. Legally, it's absolutely justified. Legally, he's allowed to do what he did. Morally, should he do what he did? I don't know the answer to that. It's a very personal, subjective assessment. I mean, I don't know if they had, after this occurred, apologized for it and said, look, we had bad information and we handled this poorly. We're going to repair the door. We're going to, you know, give you some compensation because this isn't your fault. Then that would be probably handled differently. The bottom line is this wouldn't have caught fire the way it did if they hadn't sued him.
Right.
Like they sued him for defamation.
They poked the bear.
And they poked a real bear with him, because I think when they sued him for defamation, it's clear that his response to that is, wait a minute, I have no recourse against you, but you're going to sue me for the harm you felt when I did something to you after you did something unjustified to me. Like, people have a right to feel the way they're going to feel about that. Look, do I think everyone in this situation probably wishes it didn't happen? I would imagine, because even Afro Man, who's enjoying sort of a renaissance as a function of this, and who the hell was talking about Afro Man before this on a regular basis, but he's on everyone's lips now. Would he wish that this hadn't happened? I imagine. I mean, his children were home. He testified in his deposition to the fact that this was incredibly upsetting for his family. And I can imagine it must be terrifying and invasive to have law enforcement break down your door and you didn't actually do anything wrong that would merit it. That must be. But again, I also don't want to vilify law enforcement for doing the things that they do. If there's a reasonable suspicion that was high enough that they were able to get a warrant and they're just there to execute the warrant, you know, don't shoot the messenger, literally. Right. Like, they're there to execute a warrant. They're not the ones who issued the warrant.
One of the best pieces of this case before we move on is the ex-wife.
Oh, the ex-wife.
Because the officer tried to claim that the songs that Afro Man made led to the fallout of his divorce and everything. Yeah. And then she got on the stand and said, none of this is f***ing true.
Were they laughing and joking about it?
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with the song Wet Ass?
Yes.
Who isn't?
Has Mr. Foreman's posts about Sean or any of the general posts about the Adams County Sheriff's Department as a whole affected your life any at all?
No.
No.
So the posts never affected your life, never affected your marriage?
No.
You never sought a protective order against your ex-husband, did you?
Yes, I did. When we divorced, the divorce, yes. I had a restraining order.
You got a restraining
order? Yes, I did.
It was a total win. You know what I mean? Like, legally, court of public opinion, humorously,
devastation. Yeah, you rarely see such a total victory as this one. It was a flawless victory, yep. Mortal Kombat style, fatality. Yeah, it was serious.
Out of lemon pound cake, Randy Walters is a son of a bitch, and Lick 'em Low, Lisa. What do you think the best song of the Afro Man Court was?
I gotta go
with
pound cake. So good. I think the video is amazing because the way he's looking at that pound cake, the way he's like eyeing it, like, I don't blame him. You know what I mean? Like, we've all seen some lemon pound cake and been like, damn, I want some of that. You know what I mean? And just the fact that it's this portly cop, like, and he's got the gun drawn. You can't make this stuff, man. You gotta have a really solid budget and you couldn't make a video as good as that one.
Well, Netflix just made their big video, Inside the Manosphere, and we've talked about that a little bit, and this thing has legs. It continues. The fallout continues.
I posted, you know, our episode about that went up, and within an hour, I got texts from a half a dozen people that I name-checked in it. So I was getting texts from Rollo and from Mike Sartain and some of the other people that we talked about. It was very funny, so I guess the word spread pretty quickly that I'd talked about everybody.
Now, the big kind of response is Myron Gaines' girlfriend, Angie, broke up with him. Now,
broke up quite a while ago.
Well, that's the thing. It wasn't once the doc aired, but she did come out on her own and say in her TikTok, because now, you know, she's probably going to start a podcast and have her own career.
Sure.
But she said that Louis's questions and that whole scene opened her eyes.
Yeah.
And that she, you know, she left him. Now, Myron has come out and been like, you aired the edited version. And if you look at the full version, it's this, that, and the other. So those guys are scrambling. But it seems to be that, at least in one case, the doc influenced somebody to kind of go against the manosphere, if you will. I'm kind of the thought that maybe Angie knew that she was going to look like an absolute idiot once this aired and she needed to get out of it. I might be skeptical. I might be jaded, but
yeah,
I think the doc really, I don't know if it opened her eyes, but it definitely influenced her decision.
Yeah. I mean, I think it shed a light on her. It put a spotlight on her that she was going to have to deal with. And the question was, is she going to be known as that woman who was allowing this dynamic that Louis was critical of? Or was she going to be like an empowered person? And by that convention, you know, by the current definition of that. And I think she made the choice that she made. And I'm sure she'll do what anybody does with the spotlight, which is try to figure out a way to leverage it in some fashion. Again, the dynamic of people's relationships as a divorce lawyer for a long time, I can tell you it's a lot more nuanced than these things. But, you know, the fact that she was featured so prominently in this documentary and taking the controversial position of, you know, allowing or justifying this concept they're referring to as one-way monogamy, you know, yeah, she was going to take some flack for that. And that relationship has ended. What I will say is in Myron's defense, and in full disclosure, it's public knowledge that I represented Walter, his partner, on Fresh and Fit, for a period of time. And again, I know them both. I wouldn't say we're like friendly. We've never broken bread, but I have a professional relationship where I've been of assistance. What I will say about Myron is I think his latest posts, where he shows the unedited footage, definitely shows a more nuanced discussion. It even shows him being more nuanced. It shows the episode of Fresh and Fit that he clipped and showed where the women weren't talking and only the men were, that there were actually, like, the women were saying some of the things that would have probably been most considered misogynist and were defending some of the male-centered comments. But again, whether that shows bad faith or whether that shows that they don't have unlimited time in a documentary, so they don't air the entire thing. What Myron did very effectively is show the clipped scene from the documentary and then showed the unedited footage. And I think this is something that people are doing quite a bit now, which is when they are being filmed, they also film. Mm-hmm. When I am being interviewed, I often record the interview, not for a credible podcast like Mel Robbins or Huberman Lab or anything like that. But if I'm being interviewed for a magazine, like I was interviewed for a magazine earlier today, on the topic of the manosphere and the red pill space and things like that, I recorded the conversation because I had a concern that the reporter wanted to do kind of a hit piece. You know, I was interviewed in New Yorker for a piece about prenups, and they absolutely, it was a hit piece. They absolutely, they talked to me for an hour, and then they took like two sentences and out of context, and then said that I'd appeared on Manosphere Red Pill podcast like Huberman Lab, as if a science podcast was a red pill thing. So it really is one of those things that you have to be pretty careful. But if you do watch the unedited footage of this, you do see that there was more nuance to the conversation. Fundamentally, though, like Myron has to stand by what his relationship dynamic was and how he sought to defend it. And Myron has said some very outrageous things. And he is a provocateur, and he is someone who has some outrageous opinions, many of which I totally disagree with. Again, I've said before, I have a lot of people in my life that I, on one level, like as a human being and wish them well, but completely disagree with many, many of their views. I often use Andrew Wilson as an example because Andrew is someone who has very different religious views, very different political views, very different way of communicating than I do in terms of how he expresses his views. We are absolute opposites on many levels. And yet I have a tremendous affection for him and his wife as people. I like them. I believe them at their core to be very good people, even though we have totally different perspectives on many topics. I think we have to make room for that again as a society, the ability to dislike someone's point of view, but support their ability to have a point of view and express it freely, and to acknowledge that there is still underneath their viewpoints a human being who has their own unique history, who has their own unique, you know, traumas and tragedies and things that molded them into the person that they are and that is worthy of love and worthy of respect. I think it's, you know, amazing that anybody can claim to love America, but seemingly just hate Americans because they disagree with your point of view, you know? And I think that it's really, really important for us to separate the sinner from the sin, or to separate the speaker from the point of view that they might have.
Another relationship that confuses a lot of people and has for a long time now.
Ours? I mean, it confuses me every day.
Well
it's
done.
Really, it
well
really
played.
Is. Yeah, yeah. It's like a weird heterosexual life partner now for me. It's really good.
Well, the only one that might be weirder is Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith.
That is a weird-ass relationship.
I don't know what's happening there, but that she's speaking on it once again, this time on I don't even know what show, where they asked her, Will Smith, like, be back in your home and back in your life?
Wouldn't it be amazing if I comment on this and all of a sudden he just busts through the door and slaps me? Like,
that'd be great
just,
for business.
Oh my God.
Great
we would definitely
business.
Hit 100,000 subscribers within the day, by the way. Danger close, by the way. Like and subscribe. So I'm sorry. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button like you were hitting Chris Rock. Get in there. Okay, what's Jada got to say?
Living together?
It's just this beautiful connection. We will.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Not right now.
But you will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
why
yeah.
do you say that with such a
clarity?
Because that's what it's going to be.
That's where it's headed.
Yeah.
And you both know. Are on that page.
She's like, yeah, when you know, this right 15 now, minutes inevitably yes. ends yes. and no one is paying
you know,
attention to me, we will reunite again.
I am my mother's only child.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so having this time that I've had to obvious. Myself has been fantastic. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm all by myself and I love my freedom and I can f*** whoever I want and do whatever I want, but I also keep Will Smith in my back pocket.
I mean, listen, she's got the husband a la carte. It's
yeah.
kind of great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't get mad at her for that, you know? Like, she's basically like, hey, look, I've got, like, all of the cool parts of being married with any of the pesky f***ing dude, you know? Like, except when I, like, want to call him. It's great. It's like the husband equivalent of a booty call. Knock yourself out, man. I don't know what lottery she won that she's got that, but
the greatest entanglement, right? That's the word she used, entanglement of all time.
I mean, that was just talk about a humiliation ritual that guy went through.
And it's still happening, you know? It's like she's still talking about him. It just get a divorce, guys.
Listen, we're talking about him.
Yeah, I know.
And I have
you're
to tell
right.
you,
you're
someone
right.
who's represented celebrities, Andy Warhol said it best. Don't read what the press says about you. Just measure it in inches. Mm-hmm. You know, like, just look at how many comments there are. Don't worry about what the comments are. Are you getting comments? You're doing it right. That's it. And that's a point of view. Again, do I subscribe to that point of view? No, I don't think all publicity is good publicity. I don't think all engagement's good engagement. But this is keeping them relevant. It's keeping them talking. I mean, personally, I think Will Smith had an incredibly successful career and reputation and just destroyed it mm-hmm. at the Oscars. Like, mm-hmm. just destroyed it and will never and has never recovered. And he will never reach the heights he was at ever again. But the question is was he going to have some kind of a fall from grace eventually anyway? I don't know. I think he's a very skilled actor. And I think that it's a real sad thing to see someone personally and professionally fall so far. But I don't know that he doesn't have culpability in that.
You know what my thought is? I think it's borderline impossible, especially if you are a rapper yourself and just in that world. When you know, when your wife is like, I was in love with Tupac and that was the guy I wanted, and you're second
Tupac's
place.
Tupac's a hard act to follow.
I mean, that's a tough one for anybody, let alone a rapper from the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. Woo! I mean, Tupac is money made him evil. Court cases got him stressed. You know what I mean? I can relate to that. Tupac speaks to me. You know, thug life. I got it right on my... I don't have it on my... I do have legal an abdomen life. Tattoo. That's right. Law life. Yeah, law. I would get that, but I already have a tattoo there, so when I have to cover it.
In your experience, though, they're obviously an extreme, right? But in any relationship or marriage, when it's like so clear that it's not really healthy and like you should just break free, but for whatever reason, they can't seem to. Is that something where you just say, all right, hey, listen, you make up your own decision?
I stand by my statement I always make, which is, look, if it's between consenting adults and it doesn't scare the horses, it's got nothing to do with me.
Yeah, like, I know.
These two people are in this relationship. They both have the money and the, you know, infamy and the resources in terms of lawyers and things that they could split up if they want to. And
like, why does he not? I hate to like speculate, but sometimes when people talk about him maybe being in the closet and stuff, it just like that makes more sense.
He likes pretty girls. Didn't you hear the song?
Yeah, I mean, when you guys say
that
over
terrifying
and over again,
video where yeah. like that was bad. That was almost as bad as that whatever rap thing he did that was Lyrical Luncheon or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh
it was
my God.
So bad, man.
I bite off more than I can chew.
Yeah, no,
then I chew it.
I take the grenade and then I throw it. No shit, you pull the pin and then you throw it. What were you doing? Pull the pin and hold on to it? Like, that's what you do with a grenade. Like, that was ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, look, I think it's unfortunate to see anybody in a dynamic that you go, wow, that can't be healthy. But what's right for me as a relationship might not be right. Like, he may be somebody who's kind of a messy bitch who lives for the drama. Like, he might like a dramatic relationship. Some people like dramatic relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's a lot of flavors in the world that people could enjoy. And this may be their particular flavor. I really don't know. I'd like to think that we've reached the point as a society that if Will Smith was gay, that he would just come out of the closet and he'd be embraced by the world. Right. I mean, I think there's all these rumors about, you know, Tom Cruise, John Travolta, like all of these people are accused of being in the closet. I don't know that any of them don't run in circles that if they came out tomorrow, they wouldn't be on the cover of People magazine about finally telling my truth.
Yeah,
you know, like they'd be stars for a minute. Like it didn't hurt Rosie O'Donnell. It didn't hurt. Like it was, you know, when people come out, a lot of sins get forgiven. A lot of past transgressions, people go like, oh, well, you know what? They were in the closet at the time. They were dealing with the stress that comes with that. And as someone who's had, you know, close friends who were closeted for periods of time and then eventually were able to come out, you know, yeah, I think that there's a lot of like stress and addiction and other like terrible things when you try to push down something as fundamental as your sexual orientation. But, you know, in this situation, like, is Will Smith really someone who'd be forced into this kind of relationship? I think he's got options. She has options, too. There's something about this that keeps them in it. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of none of our business. You know, like, let them have whatever relationship. Leave Britney alone. Like, leave
Keep
them all alone.
Keep his wife's name
Keep
out of your
Will Smith's
mouth.
Name out your mouth. Okay, that's it. Hey, that's going to do it for today's star-studded Sexton Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell. We are danger close to 100,000 subscribers, so please help get us past the finish line. Spread the word. Check us out at sextonshow.com. Check us out on Instagram at NYC Divorce Lawyer. But for now, we're adjourned.